Stay tuned for The Turning Point with Mike Fader. So I'm sure you're all aware of the CIA, I mean, who is not aware of the CIA report from the Senate about the questioning, the interrogations, and the torture that the CIA committed in the last, 13 years, and is probably still committing. I'm sure they're lying to everybody even still. It was... To some people, it didn't make any difference at all. They were thinking, I've met people who say they didn't, go ahead, torture them. You can't do enough bad things to the people who attacked us to attack this country. I was in a political discussion group the other day, and the majority of people there thought that these people are, the statements were something like, these people are terrorists, and it doesn't matter how much you torture them. Look what they did on 9/11. Look what they did to us. Look what they do. They chop people's heads off. They chop people's heads off. They're nasty, brutal, and vicious, and they would kill us again if they had a chance, and they would blow us all up. So just torture them, and who cares? One point of view, I think if you took a poll of the American public right now, such as it is, you would discover that probably 50% of the people don't care one way or the other what the CIA did. And you might find out that something like 40% of Americans, or for all I know, a majority of Americans, approve of what they did. There's been all kinds of movies and TV shows like Homeland and other shows. I think there was a show called 24 that I never watched. Maybe it's still on, where it involves torture to protect the country. There's all kinds of aspects of this, that, you know, the constitutional aspect, the cruel and unusual punishment. It's against our Constitution to do this, of course. But that's these are all questions I'm asking today. Maybe I have some statements. I certainly have some feelings. But there's a lot of questions involved here. The CIA has been given a free rein ever since the Patriot Act. The Army, which is a volunteer army, basically the president's personal army, whoever the president is, and the CIA have been given free rein to do whatever they want. Nobody pays attention to what they do. And this same Senate committee that issued this report on how horrible the CIA had been for all these years and the terrible things they did, and we'll talk more about that later, was essentially the same Senate committee that was that knew about this from the very beginning. I'm sure the CIA lied to them all the time, and in the beginning maybe they didn't know or they didn't want to pay any attention, but that was the time of the Patriot Act. It was right after 9/11, and there was no way a senator was going to give anybody who was defending the United States or preventing another attack a hard time. No senator who wanted to get reelected or no senator at all was going to appear, no matter Democrat, Republican, or liberal, was going to appear, you know, unpatriotic. And so whatever we did to these evil bastards, whatever we did to these WOGs, you know, to these towel heads, good. They deserve it. It couldn't happen to nicer guys, all right? Where were they all this time? Certainly, it took them many years to compile all these things, and the CIA probably started admitting that they were torturing. And after all, it all came out. A lot of this came out many years ago with Abu Ghraib and, you know, Blackwater and the killings and the torture. And a lot of this, of course, was subcontracted too. So all of this stuff was known by this Senate committee for a long, long time. So why all of a sudden, in a way, are they announcing it now? Is it safe to pile in on the CIA now? Is it okay? We far enough away from that incident so that you can look. And of course, they're being attacked as being unpatriotic by people like Dick Cheney. And what more is there to say? If Dick Cheney attacks you for being unpatriotic, you know you probably are patriotic. But so everybody's read about this. There was a an op-ed piece in the Times the other day by Gail Collins, and I don't want to read the whole thing. It's, you know, boring to read the whole thing, but I'll read as much of it as I can. And she said, and because this is something that struck me too, she said, one of the most unnerving parts involves of the report involves the fact that the waterboarding, ice baths, and wall slamming were conducted under the direction of an outside contractor. It isn't the first time the government turned to private enterprise and wound up with a human rights disaster. Think Abu Ghraib or Blackwater. But this seems like an excellent place to demand a cease and desist, as she means, to stop using, to outsource torture to people. I mean, if people are directly involved with our government, one hopes and one assumes that they might be more controlled by the laws of the United States, the basic laws, the absolute basic laws, and then every other law. There are laws against cruel and unusual punishment. Now, I'm sure they're violated all the time. I mean, the cops have been violating them forever, right? And, you know, smacking people with phone books and beating people and locking people in solitary and correctional institutions. But when you start distancing yourself from the government, from the people who were responsible for doing this questioning, that's when you run into trouble, because those people don't feel like they're even subjected to any laws. They're being paid and they're being told, you go ahead and get the information. We don't care what you do. Nobody is looking over their shoulder. They're not sworn to uphold the Constitution. An outside contractor, like the people, like some of the people who were doing these interrogations or who were directing them or who wrote rules for doing them, were not sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States and protect it against the Constitution, that is, against all enemies. So what do they care? The specialists in this case, the specialist names are James Mitchell and Bruce Jessen. Like many contractors doing work for the government, they're former government workers themselves. in this case, military psychologists, and like virtually all contractors doing work for the government, they were making a heck of a lot more than they would have gotten as federal employees. In this case, about $80 million. These two psychologists between them, for all whatever work they did, drawing up procedures, conducting interrogations, instructing other people on how to do interrogations, received $80 million. That's your tax money. That's my tax money. That's government money. That's money that could have been spent on anything else. Anything else but $80 million to pay these two civilians to oversee how to torture people to get information. And, of course, we know that the information may not have even been worthwhile. Mitchell and Jensen had acquired their expertise by teaching Air Force officers how to resist brutal Cold War-style interrogations. Think of pilots who get shot down behind enemy lines and get tortured by communists. That was the idea. If that happened, they were teaching the pilots how to resist. And for all we know, they may have done a great job showing their pupils how to withstand pressure to record a statement denouncing the United States when they crash land in North Korea. But it's not precisely the same thing as trying to get a suspected Al-Qaeda operative to tell you where Osama bin Laden is hiding. Plus, Mitchell and Jessen had no experience as actual interrogators. That's who we hired for $80 million. No experience. Did not speak any of the detainees' languages and had no particular knowledge about Islam or Al-Qaeda. That's who we gave $80 million to. That's how out of control and blasé the government is. That's how separate the government is from all the rest of us who actually support the government with our taxes and are called upon to vote every 2 or 4 years for our representatives to find out, which one is the better one. Which one is the better one? What is the difference who you vote for? This has been going on for the last 13 years now, I'm sure it's still going on. But especially it was going on under Republicans and it was going on under Democrats. And so what's the difference? The government is clearly a separate institution from the United States of America. That is to say, we the people have nothing to do with the government anymore. And they have nothing to do with us. They do what they like. They're out of control. And they do just exactly what they want. And the money that's spent that runs into the billions and trillions of dollars, there's no oversight. There's no control. And it's all made up money anyhow. These two psychologists did have some theories about other psychologists' work subjecting dogs to random electric shocks until their will to resist was completely broken. Maybe the two men thought you could torment human beings into the same state of learned helplessness. Worth a try, right? Mitchell and Jessen set about applying the theory to prisoners the CIA had collected. Some of them had already been cooperating with interrogators, but they tortured them anyhow. Others turned out later to have no involvement with Al-Qaeda whatsoever, but they got tortured anyhow, sometimes for years on end, years on end. Others undoubtedly were bad people with information the CIA needed who had resisted talking under nonviolent interrogation. The question then becomes whether they cooperated better under learned helplessness or simply made up stories to placate their torturers and send the CIA off in the wrong direction. There's a lot of precedent for the making up approach. During World War II, an American pilot was shot down over Japan just after the Hiroshima attack and was tortured repeatedly for information about the atomic bomb, of which he knew nothing. Threatened with beheading, the pilot told his captors that the U.S. had 100 atomic bombs and that Tokyo was next on the target list. The bogus information was immediately shared with the war minister and the Japanese cabinet. The Senate Intelligence Committee report concludes that all the torturing produced very little information that was useful and possibly quite a bit that was made up. While we would love to believe that the human rights angle would be most effective in shocking the American people, polls show that when it comes to suspects with possible terror involvement, the public attitude toward torture is kind of, eh, so what? So wisely, the committee's big point was that it was useless and it was counterproductive. And why the private contractors? maybe because the actual government interrogators didn't believe torture worked either, or maybe they just were too repelled to do it, feeling some atavistic American sense of that's not right, that's not fair, it's not what you do to other people. Some complained, that is government interrogators, complained that after Mitchell and Jessen arrived, reasonably cooperative prisoners were suddenly brutalized under the theory that the original approach had been too sissified. Oh, man. One of the experts she talked to said, somebody actually at the Center for Constitutional Rights said, I do think there's something about the culture of purchase. We don't have the answer, but we can buy it. That's an old American point of view. We don't have the answer, but we can buy it. And so two psychologists, should we be shocked by this at all? I mean, is this shocking? What is shocking anymore? Is anything actually shocking anymore? I mean, it's astounding. I mean, there's many, many articles about what's come out of this report. Amid details on torture, data on 26 held in error. So here's some people who were tortured had been in secret prisons for months on end, sometimes up to almost 2 years. And now some of them are free. One of them said he had been tortured in Jordan before he was handed over to the CIA, which at times kept him shackled alone in freezing cold cells in Afghanistan, subjected to loud music 24 hours a day. That's sort of like living in New York City, so that is torture, that's true. This man attempted suicide three times, once by saving pills and swallowing them all at once by slashing his wrists, and once by trying to hang himself. Another time, he cut himself and used his own blood to write, "This is unjust" on the wall. So he's learned now that he's been vindicated, you know, that it was now it's the evil CIA. Before it was the CIA, do whatever you want, spend as much as you want on anybody you want. And he keeps wondering, he's asking his lawyer, is he going to get recompense for this? I think that the people who were tortured like this, that the people who were tortured in any way at all, who had very little information or had none at all, who were completely innocent, should be reimbursed for millions and millions of dollars, each one of these people. Sue the government. It happens all the time for cruel and unusual punishment and false imprisonment in this country. I guess the difference is theoretically that these people are not citizens of the United States. We can do whatever we like to them. Besides, they're not even white. So who cares? You know? I mean, who cares? Torture. Jesus Christ. Could you torture anybody? Well, I couldn't. Although psychologically, I suppose, I've tortured people. You know, I've been cruel and I've been nasty at times. I like to think it's because I wasn't, because I was scared or I was miserable or lonely or something like that. And I felt like somebody was, but I never physically tortured anybody. I mean, you know, I've never put anybody through the ringer like that. I would never actually deliberately hurt somebody, but maybe there are people who would do that. I mean, I guess I know people who would do that. When I was a kid, I knew people who would torture animals. And you know what? To be honest, I have to fess up. I used to torture. Where do these people come from who can torture other people? In every culture, in every society, there are always people, I shouldn't say every, but in almost every society that you can read about, there are always people who will be the brutal ones, who will be the cops, who will be the secret policemen, who will be the torturers, who will be, you know, the KGB, the East German, the Stasi, the SAVAK, the Iranian secret police, the Gestapo. There's always people who will do this. You can always find people who do this. And I suppose if you look into their childhoods, you find something. And when I was a kid, I used to torture bugs, not actual mammals. That was too much for me. I couldn't bear the idea of it. When I was a kid, I had to set mouse traps in my house. There was nobody else to do it. My father wasn't around. So I was the one who set the mouse traps because we had mice because we lived near the cemetery, and there were many, many mice in the cemetery. Who knows what they were chewing on, but I didn't ask them that. So what you do is you set this mouse trap. Have you ever seen, are there still, no, there. These were cruel mouse traps. Now I understand there are mouse traps that trap mice where you set them free somehow, where you don't injure them or harm them in any way, you know, poison them or cripple them. But these were old-fashioned mouse traps. Maybe you've seen them, you know, if you're as old as I am, or maybe you've seen them in movies or cartoons or whatever. These were small little rectangular pieces of wood that had an extremely powerful spring. And you pulled the spring back and attached it to something. And you put a piece of cheese or a piece of bread on a little lever. And the idea was, and it worked too, because I know, unfortunately, because I had to empty the mouse traps and you would hear them go off. If the mouse, stepped on this, or I forget what the principle was, or took the weight off it or whatever, but I think if it was they pressed on it, if they stepped on it at all, the spring would release this thick metal bar, and bang, it would break the spine or the neck or part of whatever the mouse. I know it's disgusting. And you'd hear it go off. And you had to be careful when you set it, because if it hit your finger, it could break your finger. It was that strong. So bang. And I had to go down there sometimes when we heard this and get rid of the mouse. Sometimes they were still alive. It was pretty awful. And that was a kind of a torture. But when I was a kid, you know, I was subject to a whole lot of abuse when I was little. And the only way that, not the only way, but one of the ways in which I discharged this feeling of being terrorized and abused when I was a kid was I tortured bugs and insects outside. If I would stalk bumblebees, who were pretty slow, and I didn't really torture them, but I stepped on them with my sneakers and killed them. And if the worst was, I used to take a what we called a punk, which was a stick of incense, and hold it when it was lit, it was burning, and I would hold it close to caterpillars, whatever I could find, or ants, and not kill them outright, but actually until the heat made them curl up and die. And I felt bad about that my entire life. I mean, you know, not actively every minute, but I've always felt terrible that I did that. When I look back on it, if I look at it dispassionately or objectively, if I ever do that with anything, I was discharging the kind of abuse that I received on other helpless creatures. And that's the whole point. This torture is always carried out. And this is one of the things that repels most average human beings, or I should say 99% of average human beings, is it's not like you're torturing somebody who is an equal to you. Right? The torture implies, right away, just to say the word torture, it implies that somebody is weaker or in a helpless position, just like these insects were with me. I mean, there wasn't much in my life when I was a little kid that was littler than I was, that was more helpless than I was. And since I was treated in a kind of a torturous way, the only thing I could find that was slow enough it couldn't escape me, it was kind of trapped, were these little creatures. And that's what the essence of this, one of the basic themes of this torture is. If you just say the word torture, what's the thing that you think of right away is that you've got people who are in a helpless position, who are weaker, who have no way to defend themselves, and there's nothing they can do about it. And there's overwhelming power being brought against them. They are locked. They are shackled. They can't fight back. There's nothing they can do. They have no power over you. They have no influence over you. Nothing. Not a thing they could do. And that's one of the things about torture that makes it even more horrible in a way. If you have any sense of the decency and fairness of things. And you know what? I don't think most of us could even torture anybody, no matter how bad the criminal. Maybe, you know, I don't even know. I don't know. Maybe if it was somebody who had done something really horrible, I mean really horrible to some member of your family or to you, and then you were given power over them, What would you do? What would you do? There's a lot of people who would not recommend execution. A lot of people would not recommend execution. That's happened before. And they wouldn't recommend locking somebody up for the rest of their lives. They wouldn't recommend necessarily letting them go. But it all depends. And some people, some families say, yeah, give them the electric chair. Lock them up for the rest of their lives. Put them in solitary. If something happened to one of my kids by somebody who had no conscience, some psychopath, I would probably lean, at least initially, to some form of torture. Only I wouldn't carry it out. I wouldn't be able to carry it out. If I had Adolf Hitler, you know, if I was a Russian soldier or an American soldier, let's say, if they had gotten there first, and I have Adolf Hitler under my control. Let's say I'm an American soldier and I'm a Jew, and I captured Adolf Hitler alive, and he was shackled, and I was the one who was given charge of what to do to him. What would I do? I wouldn't torture. I couldn't even torture a guy like that. I couldn't even torture him. I'd just probably just shoot him, or just shoot him, or just recommend that he... No, I wouldn't recommend that he be locked up forever. Why should he even be allowed to breathe, a guy like that? But I would probably just shoot him in the head and get it over with. You know, this whole idea of the CIA, of being shocked about the CIA has a history, and I don't know if they have a history of torture, but I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think if you investigated what the CIA did... After all, the CIA has been... assassinating democratically elected leaders of countries since its inception in the late 40s and the early 50s. The CIA has, and the United States history. I mean, what did we do to the Indians? What did we do to the slaves? I mean, this is a country that's based on, racism and you might as well say torture. What was done to the slaves were tortured. They were treated, they were beaten, they were locked up, they were shackled, they were sold off, they were split off from their families, and they were physically tortured all the time. Is it not torture? Hiroshima, bombing of Dresden? The United States history is one of tremendous mass murder and violence, but it's the individual torturing of people. What we think of is the KGB, or the Nazis, the Gestapo, or the Stasi, or the Savak in, mentioned earlier, in Iran. But the United States, even though it hasn't tortured people, except for what the cops have done for God knows how long, and who knows what's happening in federal prisons, although I'm sure these things are pretty carefully watched and there's lawyers available and habeas corpus. But in this case, like I say, these were not American citizens, these people that the CIA tortured. It was a time, is this an excuse? I have no idea. It was a time when everybody was terrified that there was always going to be a 9/11 every 2 months or it would happen any moment again. And we had to get information all the time. You watch these shows, Homeland and everything else. It's a race for the clock. There's a British show called MI5, which is about, and they often use torture to keep, people of various nationalities. They don't just relegate it to Arabic citizens or, people from Pakistan or whatever. I got some water. But the United States is not innocent of being related to torture, even though we have not necessarily tortured people. We have trained people to torture people. We had something called the School of the Americas, which was at Fort Benning, Georgia. I think it may still exist. I don't really know. Where for decades, the secret police and interrogators for the worst dictators in South and Central America were trained... And I think some of the Shah of Iran's secret police were trained by Americans how to interrogate people, quote unquote, interrogate people, and how to get information from them. So we train people how basically to torture other people in a school, a military school. I don't know if it was run by the CIA or by the military. And after all, we provided weapons and we provided tools for dictatorships all over the world to torture people. And we put people in power. We supported dictators. We supported dictators who tortured people. It's like something we're not innocent of. And we can't be hypocritical. I mean, say we. When I say we, I say the government of the United States, which is separate from all of us, believe me. If you think that you have anything to do with the government, you're making a big mistake. Just because you voted, forget about it. Obviously, they do what they like, and they do whatever they want. So there is a history of torture, which we have to be honest about. And we need to reveal all this stuff. I've heard people say we shouldn't reveal this, but we need to reveal it. Now, you might say, well, but it's a war, and we're all in danger. That's probably true. There are a lot of people out there who want to kill us, and there's a lot of good reasons that they want to kill us. And there's a lot of bad reasons. Some of them are just plain lunatics and want to establish, like ISIS or Osama bin Laden, no matter whatever justification they have in their own personal lives, want to establish an Islamic dictatorship, a caliphate over the whole earth, just like the Nazis wanted to rule the earth. And the Russians weren't too far behind during the time that was the Soviet Union. But to get back to these psychologists, absolutely astounding. It's absolutely astounding that the psychologists were involved in this. To me, it was, anyhow. I mean, these are people who are supposed to be helping people. Psychologists are supposed to be helping people. They're supposed to be saving people's sanity in their lives. They're supposed to be calming people down and saving them from whatever psychological or even physical torture that people had received in their lives. These people are supposed to reverse that. It's a psychologist we're talking about. These are psychologists. They got $80 million, these two guys, to train people how to torture other people. How do they live with themselves? How do their families live with them? What do they do now when they look in the mirror? Psychologists?
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no.
Oh no.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, went out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts. No more ifs, or ands, or buts. Oh no.
Oh no.
They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my crazy ideas, but I knew what was happening. I knew I was a genius. What's so strange when you know that you're a wizard of three? I knew that this was meant to be. But I heard little children were supposed to sleep tight. That's why I drank a bit of vodka one night. My parents got frantic, didn't know what to do. But I saw some crazy scenes before I came to. Now, do you think I was crazy? I may have been only three, but I was swinging. They all looked at Graham Bell. They all looked at Edison and also at Einstein. Why should I feel sorry if they just couldn't understand the reasoning and the logic that went on in my head? I had a brain, it was a faith, though, to let them love at me when I refused to ride on all the double-decker buses, all because there was no driver on the top.
No driver on the top. This chick is twisted. What's the matter with her?
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh no.
Oh no.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, but I said, dear doctor, yeah, I think that it's you instead, cause I have got a thing that's unique and new. It proves that I'll have the last laugh on you, cause instead of one head, I got two. And you know, two heads are better than one.
Psychologists? Really? Psychologists? maybe that doesn't bother people as much as it bothers me. I mean, I've placed my sanity and my well-being in the hands of various psychologists in my life, and still am doing that. And one of the ones that I've seen particularly treats people who have PTSD. That's her specialty. And you know, children who were abused, children who were raped, children who were treated to the worst kind of torture for years on end. And also, you know, she sees people, some of the people she sees were in torture situations, who were in wars, you know, things like that. So this is what she specializes in. And that's what you think of, or what's what you hope you think of when you think of psychologists. And what kind of country have we become? What kind of country have we become? I mean, that this happens. I mean, when you think of torture, you, as I've mentioned many times before, what is the thing you think of when you think politically or geopolitically of torture? The KGB, the Gestapo, this East German secret police. you think of these dictatorships and military dictatorships, South American dictators. Again, the Shah of Iran, people like that who just tortured anybody who say, and still do, anybody who says a word against, out loud against the regime, anybody they suspect. And one thing about torture that the CIA admitted, and it came out of the Senate report, and one thing that's understood about torture, especially in respect to those regimes I just mentioned, and I guess for America now, we have to be included in this group of countries. Whether we like it or not, we are in the same historical bag now, whether we like it or not. The idea of torture wasn't always necessarily to get information, although I'm sure that it works sometimes. I'm sure torture does work sometimes. I'm sure that it does work sometimes. And then you start talking about moral and psychological and practical questions, and philosophical questions. If it actually does work, if you are a patriot, you try to save your country, or it's trying to, let's say, you're working for some nasty regime, like the Gestapo or the Stasi or something like that, or the Shah of Iran. And you could call yourself a patriot if you want, if you're trying to protect your job, or if you're just a sadist or whatever it is, the excuse you make is that anything is justified. If you consider yourself a patriot, you're trying to protect the regime. In this case, the CIA torturers and some of the military torturers and the outsourcers, the outsourced people, the subcontractors, they may have convinced themselves that they were doing the patriotic work of saving Americans. And, I don't know. The CIA is always saying, and the president is always saying, including this spineless asshole president, they're always saying that the torture, they would never use the word torture, but they're saying that the investigatory techniques, which violate almost every amendment to the Constitution and every constitutional right we have. And now they're actually coming out and saying even the torture, some people are saying that, and Obama is backing up the CIA. They're saying that this is justified. It's justified and that it worked. And they're always saying this, right? Remember, they're always saying we have stopped hundreds and hundreds of potentially horrible attacks on various cities and American installations and cities in the United States. And these interrogation techniques have paid off. Really? Well, this is supposedly a free country, and we have a free press, and the government is supposed to explain what it does to its citizens, or what they're doing should be revealed all the time. Do we have now a completely secret government? Yes, we do, of course. They spy on us. Obviously, they torture other people. They break every law in the book. They break our founding laws, our founding understandings of what America is. But they keep telling us we have stopped hundreds and hundreds of potentially devastating, horrible attacks. Okay, tell me exactly how, when, and where, and who. And prove to me that you did it. Prove to me that you did it. If you prove to me that that worked, then I would be up for more questions in my own mind about whether or not this was worthwhile. But all I'm hearing is, trust us. We have prevented these things by using whatever techniques and breaking whatever human rights anybody has. Prove it. Prove it. Or stop it. Prove it or stop it. And what kind of country have we become? Yes, the government becomes more secretive all the time, but the country itself is a country without a spiritual center. This has been going on for a long, long time now. It's hard to explain why. It would probably take 25 books to, and it probably has taken 25 books to explain that we have no spiritual center. I've been watching this show, Breaking Bad, for a while, and when you look at New Mexico, which is where it takes place, Albuquerque, I think, is the city that it takes place in, Breaking Bad, and it's about life in Albuquerque. It's about suburban life. It's about drug dealing. It's about poverty, and it's about just life in there. And it's this bizarre setting that makes you just feel like squirming just to look at it. It makes you sick just to look at it. You've got this beautiful land, this desert land, and these hills, and what takes place there is this sort of routine, crazy materialism and American consumption, car lots and McDonald's and Big Burgers and shopping malls plop down right into this beautiful sunlit land, which you just know. And I've been in places like this. You know, I've traveled across the country, once or twice, and visited relatives I had out in Arizona and other places down there. There's something absolutely spiritual, absolutely beautiful and spiritual about this land, which is completely violated by the kind of materialism and consumption and boring, meaningless, centeredless lives that people live out there. And I think, and there's a tremendous amount of drug use. This show is about selling drugs, about people buying drugs, about what drugs do to people, about the violence, the random violence that takes place in these places all the time, and about people who feel like their life has no meaning whatsoever. The people are kind of They're detached from any kind of center of meaning, of spiritual value, the way they treat the land. I mean, look at the way the land gets treated, and the air and the water. And out there, it becomes even more clear because everything is so open and bright and in the sunshine. And people are living these empty, consuming, principleless lives. Of course, everybody in America is taking drugs. I mean, either it's prescription drugs or it's illegal drugs. I mean, this country probably takes more drugs, sticks more, drugs in its mouth than any other country in the entire world. I mean, I'm sure there's no country that even comes close to this country when it comes to taking drugs. Why do Americans take so many drugs, illegal and legal? Why all the escapism? Why all the need to alter behavior and to escape basically from... From what? What are we escaping from? It's almost like a Henry James thing. It's not something we're escaping from that's this big, bad, awful thing that's threatening us, although the people who are in the CIA obviously believe this, and the government, the people provide them with all this money. In that case, they have some bad guys. You know, it's always good to find a bad guy to personify the evil thing. What the real evil thing in America is the nothingness, the emptiness, the valuelessness, the spirituallessness of America. And people will do anything to escape that. It's a vacuum, and you can't live in a vacuum. And people act out. Either they take drugs to escape it and go into some other place, and of course to get drugs and sell drugs and and buy drugs, you inevitably run into violence. So it's a country where you can almost begin to understand how this happened. And it's what Gail Collins mentioned in her op-ed piece here. It's a culture of purchase. It's a culture of purchase. You can purchase emptiness. You can purchase escapism. You can purchase excitement just by buying a drug, right? And you can purchase... You feel like you're not getting the truth from terrorists or people who are supposed to be terrorists. You buy subcontractors and you purchase their information from them, right? This is what you do. So, I don't know. Does 9/11 justify any of this? People are scared. People are really scared. People are worried all the time. I mean, I live in New York City. People are worried in New York City. After living through 9/11, you're worried in kind of a permanent way. I mean, if you see somebody acting funny, if you, and then there's a lot of racial profiling too. You get on a plane, you get on a train, you see somebody who might be Arabic, you see somebody who may be Muslim. There's a lot of, and this is, even goes for politically correct people, right? And people who are normally good-hearted, generous, and understanding, and not racist. People are permanently rattled who live in New York City and who were there during that day, during 9/11. Even more so, of course, if you knew somebody who died in the Twin Towers, or somebody who was who observed what happened there. Somebody, you know, somebody was in the fire department who's dealing with PTSD. It's I don't know. I mean, I, like I mentioned before, I, when it comes to torture, again, the question is, could you do that? Can you imagine torturing anybody? I can't really. Now, psychologically, I think some of us, without meaning to or without wanting to, and certainly we feel guilty about it, a lot of us, we've tortured other people psychologically in our lives. You know, if we've had bad marriages, or if we've been, if you've maybe you've been, you know, unfair or even harsh or, God forbid, even violent to your children once or twice in your life. When I say violent, maybe you smacked them on the behind or something like that. Or, I mean, you see all these cases in the newspapers now. You read about all these sports figures who are being hauled up for spousal abuse or abusing children. I mean, usually what I think what happens is what I was talking about my own life before. If you are treated that way when you're young, these things almost have an inevitable, almost emotional physics to them. If you're treated, if you're abused and you're tortured in any way, psychologically or physically, when you're young, it's almost inevitable. You would have to be very aware and work on it and rise above it, or else it's almost inevitable that you will wind up doing this, usually to some other weaker, more powerless creature than you, or person than you, which is why so many people sometimes, you know, are cruel and even violent and harsh and nasty to their children. And men often are to their wives. I mean, and women have to escape these men and bring the children to some shelter and get away from them. It's a question of just inevitability. It's a question of inevitability. And the CIA, to get back to the CIA again, they have been lying and cheating and assassinating, and they're probably doing it even now as I speak. There's probably somebody, I mean, all the Senate report contained all this stuff about how to lie, how to lie to congressional committees, how to lie to investigating and oversight committees. And there's all kinds of documents in there. There was one guy who was in charge of obtaining information who said long ago, he said, this subcontracting out stuff, this torturing that we're doing is, and this is an internal memo in the CIA supposedly to be kept inside. He said he wanted no part of it. He wanted no part of it. He said it's a disaster waiting to happen. What he meant was when it came out. I don't know if he was objecting to the fact that they were actually doing this. It was a disaster waiting to come out. And people are capable of torture. People are capable of torture. It's possible that, it's in people. There were experiments. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the various experiments that were conducted. I think, I don't remember now the details anymore. One of them I know was done with students at a university where people were being actually tortured, except that the authority in charge, who was wearing a lab coat, his name was Dr. Somebody or other, was telling them that whatever, as I think electric shocks that they were giving these subjects were fake. They weren't real electric shocks, or that they weren't, even though these people were reacting, that they could see through some glass, that they weren't, that even though they were reacting, it looked like a bad way. It wasn't really hurting them. When it very well could have been hurting them, or it really was hurting them. I don't remember the details. But in other words, most of the people who he told it was okay to torture other people thought it was okay because the authority was given to them to do it. So people are capable of doing this if they're told that it's okay, which is pretty horrible. I mean, I doubt if I would have participated in this. I would have said, well, it may be okay according to you, and you may be telling me that they're not suffering from this, but I can see what I can see. And there was another, also a famous experiment, and I don't know if it was students or young people or older people. I don't know. I don't really know if it was or not. One other thing about this is that I've heard people say that it's wrong for the press to be given all this information. It's wrong for Americans to know. It's bad for Americans to know, and it's bad for the world to know that we are questioning ourselves whether or not we're a decent society or whether or not we should be torturing people. Really? What's the First Amendment to the Constitution? It's that the government shall make no law affecting the freedom of the press, or the freedom of speech, rather. If we're not going to know what our military and what our CIA and what our government is doing, and increasingly it's more and more secretive, if we're not going to know that, then we are completely headed for a dictatorship. I mean, we're well on our way to a corporate military dictatorship already, but we are certain to do that if we don't hear the truth. What is that? You shall hear the truth, and the truth will set you free, shall set you free. Really? Well, if you don't hear the truth, then you remain in slavery, and you're headed straight towards a dictatorship, which is as bad or will be as bad as anything else. That people are upset about this, that they're shocked about it. I mean, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that people are, you know, encouraged or worried about it. It's, they're encouraged that to not do this anymore, that they are worried, that they are shocked about something like this. It's something that we need to hear all about. I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot of details that there are probably things in the Senate report that are insufficient, that aren't even complete, as long as it is. What is it, thousands of pages long? Because a lot of the information that was given to them was probably redacted. It's the CIA probably holding back some of the worst things that it did, and perhaps that it's still doing. I really don't know. I mean, and are we ever, do you think this country, I had a lawyer friend of mine tell me, it's too bad, though, that all of the stuff that was done to all these people all these years, all of this stuff, the statute of limitations has run out on prosecuting these people. It has run out. The only one, I think the only one it hasn't run out on is murder, and maybe some of these people were killed. But when they, did you read the descriptions of what this stuff was? Waterboarding and days without sleep and music playing at top volume for 24 hours and lights left on, bright lights left on. And dozens of these people, dozens, and who knows what the number is. It says here the number 26 I'm looking at in an article in the New York Times. It says 26 were held in error. There are some people that estimate that there were hundreds of people held in error or that were turned in by other people just for a reward, you know, who are in Guantanamo or who were in these CIA secret prisons. We will never know the extent of this. And some of this stuff was redacted, documents that were redacted, and some of it that the Senate doesn't even have knowledge of. We don't know what they did, but we need to know everything. We need to know everything that these people did so that we can try to recalibrate ourselves as a decent country. Yes, the question remains. You've got people who are out to murder all of us, people who, for whatever reason, anything from justified to unjustified. And now there's a lot of people with good justification who would be happy to murder as many Americans as possible. And people saying, that's why we shouldn't release this information. No, we need to release this information to save our souls. That's what we need to do. So I think in the end, all I can say is that the potential for sadism is in people. It's in there. But so is the potential for decency and love and compassion. And in the end, it's all a matter of choice, really. It's all a matter of choice.
Heaven help a child who never had a home. the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses as the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns his back away. Heaven help the people with their backs against the wall. Heaven help us all. A man who has to crawl. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us. From the mighty and the mighty from the small. Heaven help us all. Heaven.